Amen. Thank you so much. There's something beautiful about the cross, and praise the Lord. As you know, that is our central focus, and that's why the cross is behind me. When we remodeled the auditorium, we're so thankful, of course, for the song about the cross. Well, I failed to mention earlier, I want you to be praying for. I did not mention this morning. I didn't know till later, but Brother Harry Vickers' sister, Janice Trent, passed away, and she was sick. We were praying for her, but passed away yesterday. So please keep that family in your prayers, if you would, please. And then we're also praying for Lori Green this afternoon. She fell. She's getting in the car, and wet water and slick, and so she fell, and her leg went back underneath of her. She either possibly broke her leg or her ankle there at the hospital now. So I want you to keep Lori in your prayers, if you would, please. And we've got many others to pray for. We're so thankful that Brother Kermit Deacons had his surgery and is doing well after that. So we're keeping him in our prayers, and lots of others. We'll spend some time this Wednesday, Lord willing, on our prayer time and asking the Lord to bless different requests. But I want you to be aware of those ones so that you could be praying and share your prayer with others, to let the folks know that you are praying for them. Well, I want to preach tonight and from 1 Chronicles. And 1 Chronicles, we were in 2 Chronicles this morning. And 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And while you're finding your place there, I did hear this story. While I was, sometimes like to start off with something funny, and I heard about this little old lady. She was trying to put together this jigsaw puzzle. She dumped all the pieces out of this big table, couldn't make heads or tails of any of it, so she called her neighbor and said, "You're going to have to come over here and help me with this." And she said, "Okay, well, what's your puzzle supposed to be?" He said, "Well, according to the box, it's a rooster, big rooster. I want to help me put this chicken together." And so her neighbor came back over, and she looked to where all the pieces were sprawled out there on the table. And she said, "Well," looked at him for a little bit and turned to her and said, "First of all, I don't want you to be upset, but I don't think we're going to be able to put any of these things back together to make them look like anything like a rooster." She said, "Well, okay." Took her by the hand and said, "I'll tell you what, let's just relax. Why don't you sit here? Let's get a cup of coffee. And then the first thing we're going to do is put all these cornflakes back in the box." I didn't use that in the morning because I didn't know if everybody knew what the rooster is, the big rooster on cornflakes. So you're welcome. This was a Sunday night joke because I was afraid it might go over the heads of some folks. So, and for all of you who are sitting there waiting, tutorial, I should have had a picture up on the wall of cornflakes. As far as I know, still has a picture of the rooster on it. So you're welcome. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We're looking at the place where Solomon is getting charged by his dad, David, to build the temple after David's gone. Verse number 9 of 1 Chronicles 28, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take thee now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." I want to preach for just a little while. It's 15 after 7 already. I want to preach for just a few moments about this, serving with a perfect heart. The story goes that David wanted to build that temple. He wanted to build it bad. He wanted to build, and so much so that the prophet said, "Yep, sounds good to me, go for it." And God instructed the prophet and said, "No, tell him that that won't be for him. He's been too much war, a bloody man." And so David gets the brakes put on his desire, and so there's a great lesson there, but that's not what I'm preaching tonight. And the great lesson is sometimes you don't get to do what you want to do, but if you're not going to get what you want to do, then you ought to certainly help somebody else do what God wants them to do. There's been many a father, that had a great desire to do something, but because of difficulties in their life, maybe some circumstances, maybe some sin that they got involved in and got right with God, and they desperately wanted to do something big, but they could not. And so what they did was they said, I may not be a king, but I'm going to make me a king. I may not be able to do something that I want to do, but I'm going to help somebody else find out what they can do for the Lord. Somebody said it like this: if you give enough people what they want in life, you will get what you want in life if you'll help push them up. And so there's a great lesson there, but here I want you to see this aspect of it tonight as I preach for just a few moments about, are you serving with a perfect heart? Because that's what God uses David to tell Solomon, to serve the Lord with this perfect heart. And he admonishes David, or admonishes his son, to glorify God by building the temple, to serve him, but to do it with a perfect heart in verse number 9. And what that means is a complete or a full heart. Wholehearted. Your dad probably told you the same thing that my dad told me. If a job's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Don't mess around and do something half-hearted, son. Make sure you're going to do it. If you're not going to do it, then go do something else. Dad, I can't tell you the times he's preached that sermon. If you're not going to work for this fella, don't take his money. You boys, I've got two brothers. If you boys are going to work, then you go work, and you work all that he wants and then some if you're ever going to take a dime from him. If you're not going to do that, then don't steal his money. And he said, you do it with a whole heart. And so I want to preach for just a little while about this evening, about are we serving with a perfect heart? Father, bless us now in these moments you've given us. Lord, you've overcome a lot in our service tonight. Give us some great guests here, and they've sung and they've blessed our hearts. Lord, we had to overcome the rain, and we're so fickle, and you've helped us overcome that. You've helped us overcome so many things, dear Lord. You've risen us to this occasion. Now, I pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word. Bless us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, just take a little poll. How many of you love to come to a church in the rain? Not me. I'd rather it be sunshiny. How many of you love to have rain over clear skies? There's a few. I know there are. They're strange, but no, they're not. They're not. They're not. That's fine. That's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. Might be wrong, but you're entitled. We're all entitled to it. Wouldn't we rather come when it's nice? We'd rather come. I love to come to church in the summertime because it's still daylight, and we can go get ice cream after church and still be daylight even then. But it's not. And now it's not even dry. It's wet. It's raining. And this afternoon, I, like you, thought, boy, oh boy, is that rain? And sure enough, it was just pouring it down. And all that affects how we feel. But I'm so thankful that you come to church. I'm so thankful that you sing. I'm so thankful that you say, well, it doesn't matter how it is on the outside. The Lord can certainly do something good on the inside. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm even more grateful than I am for you. I'm grateful for God who blesses us and he gets in what's going on. It's just a blessing to be in church. But with that being said, it is a little tough on Brother Dan sometimes. It's hard for him to get us revved up. If that's a music director's job, you're revved up. Hard to pull it out, but I've watched him do it again and again, and I'm so thankful for him and thankful for what he does, but thankful for what God does, and that illustrates what I'm talking about. I've never seen Brother Dan come and give a half-hearted attempt. Oh, I've seen him lead music a lot here, but I've seen him for years do it in other places. I've never seen him do it half-hearted, and that's what I illustrate with tonight, to say whatever we're going to do, we ought to do it with as the Word of God says, a full and a complete heart, I believe it says. And we realize there that for the Lord searcheth the hearts in a perfect heart and with a willing mind. I want you to think about this for a couple of times as we look at it. As I told you, my dad told me the same thing that probably someone in your life said, and that is, if job's worth doing, it's worth doing right. I want you to see, first of all, we all have a work to do. In verse number 10, the Bible says, take heed to now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house. I believe that God has left us all here to do something for him. I believe as you raise your children, you ought to raise them for him. I believe that you're not there to provide food, clothing, shelter only. You are supposed to do that. You're supposed to do that, but every unsaved parent does that as well. Most of them know they should. You're supposed to not only provide food, clothing, shelter, but then raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and teach them that they are fearfully and wonderfully made and teach them that God has something big for them to do, because every life that's on this earth, God has a plan, a purpose, and so many of our young people in our schools across this land have been taught that they are just accidents and there's nothing out there that they're supposed to do. They don't worship anybody. They only worship themselves, the Creator, the creation more than the Creator, and they find themselves with no purpose. Is it any wonder? But you as a parent and I as a parent have the job of instilling in every child that resides in our home that they have a job to do. Verse number 10 says, take heed to now, the Lord hath chosen thee to build. You and I weren't supposed to build a temple. You and I weren't supposed to build a house of worship necessarily, but you and I were chosen to do something. You say, preacher, I don't know what I'm chosen to do. Well, if you've got a spouse, you're chosen to love that spouse as Christ also loved the church. If you've got children, you're commanded to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. If you're saved, you're commanded to walk humbly before God. There's so many commands that we have that the Lord has something for us to do. Scientists say all of us can taste, except unless you have this COVID, I guess, but all of us can taste. But some people, 25% of the population, have extra taste buds in there. There's a big fancy word for it. And I tried and tried and tried before I was ready to come in here this service. I listened to it on my computer, and it said, do-do-do, do-do-do. I mean, and I'm not going to say how they said it. It was a foreign lady, and she sounded impressive, much more impressive than I would, and almost thought about just holding my phone up to the microphone and said, here, listen to how she says it. I thought you'd think less of me, so I said, well, no, I won't do that. But then I thought, no, I can try it. I can impress you with my ability to speak. But then I thought better of that. A trip coming out of my office the other day, so I thought, well, I better not do that either. But there's something that you have 25%, or 25% of the population, rather, has these extra things on their tongue that they have extra ability to taste. I mean, they're great ones. They're very, very sensitive. Have those extra mushroom-shaped things on the bottom of their tongue, and tastes really drive them crazy. You say, what good's that do? I don't know. I'm just saying 25% of the population can taste better than the rest of us can. So we got this Proclaim team, about one or two of you have extra taste. The rest of you is just normal like us folk in East Tennessee. And you say, what good's that do? I have no clue. I just know that God didn't make any mistakes. I see some folks who have developmental disabilities, and I see how they're the spark plug of their family. I see people who have health issues, and those health issues have driven them to serve the Lord and be such a sweet Christian, much sweeter than some of the old cantankerous people that don't have anything wrong with them. I'm saying this evening that God has chosen all of us and has given us a work to do. But I want you to look again in verse number 10. Not only does God give us all a work to do, he says to Solomon, he's chosen thee to build a house. But part of that life should bring people to God. Let me explain what I mean by that. The Bible says to Solomon, you're supposed to build the house for a sanctuary. A sanctuary where people could come for the sanctuary, for the place to come to God. I mentioned in the message this morning, the temple was the central part of the Israelites' life. That was the hub of their existence. And Solomon was supposed to be used of God to get that out of that tabernacle, out of that tent, and into a permanent dwelling. Use it. He was supposed to be used, rather, to get people to meet with God. And I'm saying that each and every one of us, as I already alluded to this morning, each and every one of us are also supposed to be engaged in that sanctuary building, if you want, that sanctuary living, if you like, or we're supposed to be involved in something that points people to God. How would our lives be different this week if we realized that every restaurant, every gas station, every store, every place of business that we went to, we realized that we were on display and we were there for a purpose? I understand that doesn't mean you hop up on your table at Wendy's after you're done with your chili and say, all right, y'all, listen up over here. They probably take you out and say, listen, we've got a little special place for you and have you committed somewhere. I understand. I'm not saying that you be obnoxious or you be this loud, bombastic person, but I am saying that people we rub shoulders with, we are responsible to be a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that the part of our life should be in that sanctuary living to bring people to the Lord. I believe everybody's got a purpose here. Everybody in this room has got a purpose here in this church or out from this church. We've got a purpose to take this church outside of this church and go do something for the Lord. But there's also lots of things that we can do inside the church. We've got a purpose for that. Everybody may not work in the same area, but everybody's got an area to work on. I want to give you this last one, number three, if you look back in verse number 9. As we serve the Lord, as we find a way to point people to Christ, I get to the crux of the message tonight. As we serve, would you let it come from the heart? Look again in verse number 9. And thou, Saul, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Have you ever been told to I'm sorry by somebody who didn't mean it? Go back way to when you were a kid. If you had a brother, I've got two brothers and a sister. All of us have been told, I'm sorry by somebody who didn't mean it. You say, what do you mean by that? You know, your mom says, hey, tell them you're sorry. Tell them you're sorry. I am not sorry. Well, mom says, I don't care whether you are or not. You got to say it. Lie. Your mom's teaching you to lie. I don't care whether you are. Say it. Okay, I'm sorry. Did that really change my life? Didn't do much for me, did it? I know mom was trying to teach us, mom was trying to show us, but if it's half-hearted or less, it doesn't do much for us. And you realize when we read through the Chronicles and all the other Old Testament books, you see some of those kings, they certainly served the Lord half-hearted, and that might be the good one. Some of the others were much less than half. But David tells his son, I want you to serve the Lord, but I want you to do it with a perfect, a complete, a total heart. If you're back when you were a teenager and you were wanting to date somebody, teenager, 21, 22, 52, whatever you're dating, I don't know, whatever age you were when you're dating, and when you want to impress that girl and you told her that you love her with all your heart, right? Hubba hubba, I love you with all my heart. You're a cold bunch tonight. Didn't you love that girlfriend with all your heart? Oh, I love you with all my wallet. That came a long time before the heart did, I know. Especially when you're trying to impress her. Used to be when Amy and I were dating, I'd pay for everything. Now I try to get her to pay for anything I can get her to pay for. Have mercy. Love you with all my wallet. No, I love you with all of my heart. And what we mean by that is everything that's in me, baby, whatever I got, so all of it loves you. If I was a poker player, I'm putting the whole thing on you. Not that I'm condoning that, but if I was a better, I'm putting it all on you. I love you with my whole heart. And that's what David says to Solomon. Love him with a perfect heart. Serve him with a perfect heart. I want to give you three reasons why you should serve with sincerity, then we'll be done. But before I give you that, I want to give you an example. Amaziah from 2 Chronicles 25 says this, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but listen to this phrase, but not with a perfect heart. You can fool me. You could come in here and say, preacher, I gave, and I don't check about what people give, so it's a poor illustration. Preacher, I gave $2,000 for that Christmas offering for Jesus, or I gave $2,000 for this. And I would say, oh, brush your heart, praise the Lord. But the Lord knows our sincerity. You could come in here and you could say, you know what? I did. I took that big tour bus and I painted it red so it matched the brick of the church. Well, number one, we thank you not to do that. But if you grumbled the whole time and you said, oh, this church, all they want me to do is paint, 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 and you didn't do it with a sincere, perfect heart, we'd rather you not painted it. Because as David told Solomon, you need to do it with a perfect or a sincere heart. And Amaziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. If I learned something a long time ago, one time I did something wrong in our marriage. It's been so long, it's hard for me to remember, but I think it went like this. I did what was wrong. I did some dumb mistake, and Amy said, well, here's what you should have said. I said, okay, that's what I'll say. And she said, no, it doesn't help now because I already told you what you're supposed to do. I said the right things, but apparently, men, this is free advice. If your wife has to tell you what to say, you get no credit for it. Not at all. Right, Aim? That's right. I said, that's what you said I should have said. She said, yes, but you should have said it before I said you should have said it. I was like, let's take it back just a few years. I did that which was right, but I did not do it from a perfect heart. And I'm afraid sometimes we're serving the Lord. We're doing what's right, but we're really, I mean, on the outside, we're doing what's right. But we're not loving our family like we should with a perfect heart. Husbands, all jokes aside, your wife wants you to love her with sincerity. Honor the Lord. And there's several folks that are getting married the next year, and it's exciting times. I love it. But if you find somebody and you're not convinced they're going to love you with that perfect heart, and perfect, I don't mean without mistake, because none of us get that way, but that whole heart, that sincere heart, that complete heart, then dump them and go find somebody else. But that holds true also as we serve the Lord. Let's serve Him with this perfect heart and with a willing mind. Let me give you these three things of why you should serve with sincerity. Number one, because the Lord knows. Look in verse number 9 that we're looking at. You should serve Him with sincerity because, number one, He knows. The Lord searcheth and understands. If Amy Herbman can figure out why when I'm not sincere, well, then certainly God can figure out when I'm not sincere. You aren't fooling Him. We can walk around and act like everything's great, but the Bible says the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Why should we serve Him with sincerity? Number one, because He knows. Number two, because it's possible. Look on in verse number 9. We're just going to tear the verse apart. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. So it's not like He's unfindable. It's not like He doesn't want to be discovered by you. He wants you to find Him. He wants for you to love Him. The Bible says you'll seek for Me and find Me when you seek for Me with all of your heart. He wants to be found of you. He only wants to be sought for you or sought by you with a whole heart. Number one, serve Him with sincerity because He knows. Number two, serve Him with sincerity because it's possible He'll be found of thee. And number three, serve Him with sincerity because there are consequences if we don't. Now, in this case, in verse number 9, He says, but if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. My intent tonight is not to say that He's going to cast you off forever. The people I'm speaking to tonight are, by and large, you're Christians, you're saved, but I'm just getting you to understand that if we don't seek for Him with all of our heart, there are consequences. You understand that one of the greatest or worst ways to live is regret. You know what? One of the most sobering times in my ministry that I've ever had is a culmination of a few visits. And these people were nursing home residents who did not serve the Lord when they had opportunity. And now regret racks their brain and their mind because now their body won't let them do it. Back then when they had body, they had no desire. Now that they have a desire, they have no body. Regret is a horrible master. So when I say there are consequences, I do not mean that salvation is in question. Of course, that's not true. But if I don't seek the Lord now, seek for Him while He may be found, look for Him while He's near. If I choose to, out of desire to go do anything else, be it financial, lifestyle, whatever else, I don't have time right now to seek Him with all of my heart. One of these days, very likely, you'll be one of the people that I was talking about, and you'll say, oh, I wish I could now. The only problem is, then you'll find, like my friends that I found, you're not able to. So why would I serve Him with sincerity? Because there are consequences if I don't. We all know what fake is, right? You go to any big city and there's people that are vendors and they've got cheap merchandise with expensive names. From Ray-Ban sunglasses for a few bucks to Kate Spade purses for just a few more. My pastor one time, he was somewhere on a cruise and got off the cruise this port and he bought a Mont Blanc pen for $10. That's quite a buy. Except he knew it wasn't a true Mont Blanc pen. So he said, like some people when they're when they have a classic car but it's not that great of shape, he said, John, that's a 10-footer. It looks good from about 10 foot away. So as long as he puts his Mont Blanc pen on the shelf and nobody gets close, they still think he's got a Mont Blanc pen. It's not sincere. And sometimes I'm afraid my service for the Lord is about as insincere as that Mont Blanc pen that cost $10. I want to serve him with sincerity. I want to serve him with a willing mind and a perfect heart. So I ask the question at the beginning, and I ask it as before we leave, are you serving him with a perfect heart? I hope that you are. Have you bought into the lie that you've got to be miserable? That's not true. Have you bought into the lie, well, you're too old, you're too young, you're too ordinary, you're too this, you're too that? None of that's true. What we can realize is it doesn't matter where we are right now, we ought to serve him with a perfect heart. You say, I can't do as much as I used to. God knows that. You say, I can't do as much as so-and-so. God knows that as well. But are we serving him with a perfect heart? And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou that the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Let's serve him in that way. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for this time to be in your house. And Lord, I pray that you would help us serve you with sincerity. I pray, dear Lord, if we're doing what we do to be seen of men, that tonight, I don't want us to quit doing what we're doing. Lord, I just want us to have the right motives. Pastor, be foolish to get up and say, I want everybody to quit what they're doing just in case. No, I want us to keep on doing what we're doing. I just want to do a motive check, dear Lord. And I can't do it on anybody else, and they can't do it on me, but we can do it on ourselves. And so I pray, dear Lord, that we would start serving you with this perfect, sincere heart. Please, I ask. As they begin to play, would you stand together with me if you're able to tonight? It's been a great place to be in God's house. And one of the things that would make it great and cap it off would be this. If the Lord has spoke to your heart, that you would make a holy vow to him. You would complete what God has already started in your life. If the Holy Spirit has knocked on your heart's door to say, that preacher man said something that you ought to be paying attention to, then I suggest you pay attention. If you found some hypocrisy in your life, if you found some things that you haven't been completely sincere in, sincerity's the key. If you're here tonight and the Lord has burdened your heart, you can make an altar out of your seat or you can make an altar out of this altar at the front. But I challenge you to do business with the Lord. If the Lord has swung down low and spoke to you about something, please don't walk out those doors without taking care of that business. As they continue to play, the group sang about the cross. It's all about the cross. Perhaps you're here tonight and you know what that cross means vaguely, that Jesus went to it, but you've never received Christ as your personal Savior. You've heard so much talk about it. You've been to church with your friend, your family, your relatives, fiance, whoever. You've been to church a lot, but you've never made it personal, the transaction that was made on that cross that day, and then the burial and resurrection that followed. You've never received Christ as your personal Savior. If you've never done that, I invite you to step out and come. I'm watching down here at the front. Brother Dan's down here on the front pew. Either one of us would be glad just to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. As they finish out this verse, if God's speaking to you, I invite you to come. Father, now thank you for this time to be in your house. What a joy it's been to be blessed with some good music. Lord, the wonderful testimony of Miss Joanna's trip and the way you blessed her and kept her safe and then used her and the whole team to see people brought to faith. And I pray that you would bless all of them that were on it. Lord, thank you for the time to be in your word. Thank you for bringing the Snyders our way. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing the Proclaim team our way. Thank you for giving us such a good time tonight. I pray that you bless us as we go out. Keep us safe. Lord, I do pray for Lori Green that you would bless her right now over at the hospital. Give the doctors great wisdom. I pray for Harry Vickers, dear Lord, that you'd bless him and his family in the loss of his sister Janice. And Lord, pray that you would just continue to bless. I pray for Karen, Brother Bob Bryant's sister, dear Lord, that you would just be especially close to her right now this evening as well. Lord, we'll thank you. You've been so good to us. You give us a wonderful night tonight. Thank you so much for all of your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. You may look this way. I'm going to ask the Proclaim team to slip on back to the back, or maybe they already have some of them. Maybe you have some questions about Pensacola Christian College. It's a wonderful Christian institution. They stand strong on the biblical doctrines that they should, strong in the King James Bible, strong on against Calvinism and the just biblical Christianity. And so it's a wonderful place. If you've got somebody that might be interested, I encourage you to check out the institution. And we're so blessed that they came our way. Thank you for being in church tonight. Brother Dan, we need anything else? All right. God bless you. You're dismissed.